Welcome to Inside Jobs, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by Code 42. Code 42 is defining data security standards for the hybrid workforce. As the needs of workforces have evolved, so has Code 42's data security and insider risk management solutions. To learn more about our sponsor, visit code42.com. I'm your host, Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Here with me today is Joe Payne, President and CEO at Code 42. Welcome, Joe. It's so great to have you with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, Joe, our listeners may not understand the differences between insider risk and insider threat. Do you want to kick off the series by defining those for us?
Sure. You know, all security people know that users create risk, and all security people know that that risk isn't always intentional. And so probably the easiest way to think about the difference between insider risk and insider threat is insider risk are the things that happen over the course of a workday where users might move data unintentionally outside of an organization and create risk. Whereas insider threat is pretty specific to people that are doing this on purpose and folks that are intentionally trying to create harm. I would also say that sort of insider threat tends to focus very specifically on a few users, whereas in an insider risk approach looks at sort of all users, all file movement in an organization, all vectors where movement can go. So it's a little bit more all-encompassing.
Excellent. And what are some examples of insider risk to start out?
Well, you know, it happens during the normal course of business today in what we call the collaboration culture. And maybe a second on the collaboration culture, because the world really has sort of changed how we work together. You know, we're using Slack and we're using Teams and we're using Zoom and all these different tools like Box or OneDrive or G Drive that help us share data and work together and collaborate. And so, examples of insider risk are when somebody maybe shares a document publicly, maybe they don't realize that they shared it publicly, they meant to just share it with some colleagues, that creates risk. Or someone emails a document to the wrong person, or perhaps they, they're at home. We've all been at home a lot in the last year, and they're using their home laptop and they access their Gmail and say, oh, I can't get my corporate mail from this machine, so I'm going to Gmail this important document to someone else, and they pull it down from a cloud service and they Gmail it. So those are some pretty good examples of insider risk.
Great. And Joe, how about examples of insider threats?
Well, these are the things that we're all accustomed to hearing about that are unfortunate, where we've got departing employees, for example, who might say, you know, I want to bring my customer list with me when I go to my next job, or a software developer who has a set of source code that they like. They built some sort of great UI or interface, and they think, well, I'd like to bring that source code with me. It's some of the best work that I've done. Or it could be someone taking HR data with them because they feel like it's information that would help them in their job. A couple examples of these, both insider risks and insider threats, might be helpful. So maybe I'll walk you through a couple. When I think about insider risk, you know, I think recently of an incident we had at Code 42, which I feel comfortable sharing with the audience, where we had an employee that we hired. She came as a salesperson from another software company, in fact, another security software company. And she basically there at her last company had plugged her iPhone into her corporate laptop. And when you plug your iPhone into your laptop, all of us know that it asks you for, hey, what's your iCloud account, and you know, put in your password for that so that your phone can sync, etc. What she didn't know when she worked at her old job is that iCloud automatically backed up all of her desktop files from that machine and all of her document files from that machine into iCloud. That was Apple thinking that they were being helpful by creating backups for her. When she joined Code 42, her new Code 42 laptop asked her the same question. Hey, you've just plugged your iPhone in. What's your Apple ID and password? And she entered those. And then iCloud helpfully started downloading all those documents from her old laptop to her new Code 42 laptop. That created some insider risk, both for her old company and for us, in the sense that we now had proprietary information from that other software company on our Code 42 machine. Now, in that situation, we were satisfied that the employee had no idea this was happening, but that created risk for us. So that's a good example of something that is unintentional, that is insider risk. Now, contrast that, Hillary, with an employee at McAfee who was about to leave their company. And this is a public, this is a case in the public domain. And so I'm very comfortable sharing it, okay. But it was on their second, it was on her, that employee's last day. And they were a sales ops person and they downloaded all some important customer information from Salesforce and then took it with them to their new job at Tanium. There's now a lawsuit between those two companies that's happening, and you can read all the details of that online if you want to. But that's a great example of an insider threat. Exiting employee on their last day, taking critical sales information and customer information. And then one last example, which is sort of in the middle, which is interesting because insider risk and insider threat certainly cross. It's not as always clear cut. And again, another example from Code 42, because I can share those. I don't share customer examples. I only share examples in the domain and then that are ours because I think they're illustrative. But we had a departing HR employee. She'd been with us for 10 years, trusted employee. And as she was leaving, she downloaded the entire contents of her C drive to an external hard drive. And she did that because she said she wanted to get all of her contacts before she left, and she didn't really know how to get all her contacts. Well, as an HR employee, things on her C drive included all of our payroll information, all the social security numbers of all of our employees, et cetera. And so that created a lot of drama, as you might expect, but it wasn't clear, was her intent really to take that information and use it someplace else, or was she really trying to get her contact? So you see insider risk and insider threat. There is definitely a gray area there in Emerge, but we like to use the term insider risk because we presume positive intent for most employees. And that's what insider risk is all about, but it's entirely possible that insider risk leads to what you would consider real threats.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's a good point of differentiation between those two. So thank you. To segue a little bit, Joe, you wrote a book with some of your colleagues titled Inside Jobs, Why Insider Risk is the Biggest Cyber Threat You Can't Ignore. And in chapter one of that book, it really sets the stage by stating that the inside is your blind side. Why is this true?
Well, in cybersecurity, it's been really an area that has been, you know, largely ignored in the last few years. We really focus on phishing, and we focus on malware and nation state actors and hackers. And, you know, you read about all of those things in the news. And part of the reason we do that is because we don't like to acknowledge that two-thirds of the data breaches last year were actually caused by insiders, people that had access, that were granted access to data, that were trusted employees, and those are the folks that are actually responsible for much of the activity and much of the data breaches that we've seen. If you think about how the world has changed in the last few years, it's not surprising that we haven't focused on that. You know, 20 years ago, if you were going to steal important data from your company, you had to come in late at night to your office, sort of cloak and dagger, and maybe, you know, stand at the copy machine and copy a bunch of files. And when you did that, you knew you were doing something wrong. Today, most employees literally need to just drag something across their desktop, maybe into a file folder, and it might take 10 seconds, and, you know, it might seem like an innocuous act. And so, it's not cloak and dagger, it doesn't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. And what that's resulted in is a lot of people sort of justifying to themselves, hey, it's okay if I take a lot of data. And by the way, everyone else is doing it and nobody's actually watching the store. you know, there have been no consequences for putting some data into Gmail or into my Dropbox account. And if nobody is watching the store and everybody's doing it, you sort of get this crowd mentality. And I think, you know, the last piece of data that really illustrates that is, while as I mentioned, 2/3 of the breaches last year were caused by insiders, only 10% of security budgets today are focused on insiders. So there's a real disproportionate focus in this area. And that's why the inside may be your blind side.
And Joe, I think you kind of already touched upon this, but if you had anything to, you know, further elaborate on, is all leaked information from the inside intentional? You kind of already stated it's not, but I'd like to hear any more you have to say.
Of course. Yeah, not at all. Like, so you think about the concept of shadow IT, and shadow IT is, you know, people using Gmail or using Dropbox or things like that because they're easier. We have some data that shows that 37% of workers, knowledge workers, use unauthorized applications daily. In other words, they use their Gmail daily to get work done, or they use Dropbox or things like this. So that's over a third of all employees do that. And so that every time you use Gmail to send a document to someone, you know, the way Gmail works, you now have that sent Gmail for life. I mean, it literally doesn't go away. So that creates insider risk that may not be intentional. And you might be saying, well, why would people even do that? Well, look, we've all done it when we're at home, you know, using our accounts, where we couldn't get into corporate email, so we used our personal email. Many people use things like Dropbox for their soccer team or for their church, and they realize, wow, this is really easy to share information. So maybe I should use it to share data with my colleagues or my sales team or something like that. So we see a lot of that activity that happens unintentionally.
And so when someone on the inside decides to intentionally steal from their organization, because it does happen, how do they do it? You know, do they exfiltrate data, or what's involved there?
Well, at the beginning, we talked a little bit about this concept of the collaboration culture and how we've got all these new tools like Slack and Teams and, you know, Box, et cetera, that make sharing and working together easier. And they are fantastic. I should make sure I say that. Like, you know, our teams have never been more productive because it's, you know, the organization works better when everybody's sharing information. However, those same tools that make us better, that make us more productive, that allow us to share information, also make it really easy to exfiltrate data. So, and it's not just the collaboration tools, it's also the cloud tools like Salesforce.com or Workday. They're easily accessible from inside the network, from outside the network. So all those things really make it easy to share data. So, you know, how do people share? How do people, you know, exfiltrate data? Well, they do it via all those tools. So maybe they upload something while sitting at a Starbucks, you know, so they're off the corporate network, and they upload through a browser to their Dropbox account. And once they put in their Dropbox account, they have it for life. Or maybe before they quit a company, 2 weeks before, they'll, you know, pull up a Gmail while sitting at home and upload a document that way. That's, you know, those are the two most common ways people exfiltrate data. You know, the third most common way is when people put data on a thumb drive. And, you know, many organizations who are listening today are saying, oh, but that wouldn't affect us, Joe, because we've blocked all, you know, thumb drives from being used and people can't plug in thumb drives. But as it turns out, many peripherals today come with USB ports. And so you've got your keyboard, or you've got your docking station, or you've got your monitor that also has USB ports, which are really hard for the OS to effectively block. And so even though people think they've got that vector covered, they really don't. So we see that as the number three way people exfiltrate data. And then I can go on and on. There's AirDrop, there's printing, there's, you know, any number, there's Slack. I mean, we're seeing that rise. There's a huge vector today because you can open up a Slack channel with someone not in your company and you can share a document that way. And so there's constantly more and more vectors being added. And so that has created a lot of the reasons why it's sort of unwatched, because people just have trouble keeping up.
Right. Great. And How can organizations protect themselves from insider risk and threat? I'm sure this is something we'll continue to talk about as part of the series, but just any final thoughts?
Yeah, we call it the three T's to keep it simple. You know, they are transparency, training, and technology. And just one sentence on each of those. Transparency is as important as anything else. Telling the organization that you are watching the store, that the cyber team is watching the store for data exfiltration, and being clear about that. That helps bring down, you know, most people want to do the right thing. And so if they know that somebody's watching them, they will do the right thing. Training is also equally important because people, especially young people, don't understand who owns what. They say, well, I made that source code, so can't I take a copy with me? And of course, the answer to that is no. So training is a really growing area in all of cybersecurity, but particularly on insider risk. And then finally, you need technology to watch for browser uploads, for airdrop exfiltration, for thumb drive exfiltration. Having technology that supports sort of today's modern enterprise is really critical. And obviously, I'm familiar with all this because that's what Code 42 does.
Excellent. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with you next time.
See you soon.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Inside Jobs is brought to you by Code 42, whose mission is to speed the time to detect and respond to data risk from insider threats. To learn more about our sponsor, Code 42, visit code42.com. And you can listen to all of our podcasts at cybercrime.radio.